Yeah, because there's only one answer. Like, there's only one answer there. But yes,
you were getting killed.
Not right. That's a bit of a harsh start. So,
which means I have absolutely nothing to do.
You can have breakfast whenever you want.
Time is relative to me.
Okay, Ricky, what's this week's Would You Rather?
Yeah, so Darryl, we're going to ask ridiculous Would You Rathers each week. And so our first one is...
it's a chance to meet your family, Ricky, not get rich quick.
No, but you could be like, you could go back in time and warn someone like, oh, Man United are going to beat Liverpool. Like, well, let's not talk about that right now. let's not mention that. Devon, what would you do in that situation? Hello. So, firstly, welcome to our first episode of our podcast. I'm feeling a bit nervous. I'd like to welcome my co-host, Denver Morton, who's sitting above me. How are you doing, mate? How's
Ricardo,
life?
How are we? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. How are you?
Excited, mate. Excited.
Yeah, and so you should be, because we have a very, very excited person on the podcast today. How are you feeling?
We do.
Yeah, a very, very close friend of both of ours. Some would say a friend of the podcast already. He is an absolute triple threat. He has been in probably the greatest musical of all time on Holiday in Heaven. He has done some directing, acting, but he has acted with some phenomenal people, Kim Woodburn and Bruce Grobbelaar. And I think that's a career highlight for him already. But I'd like to welcome Daryl Holden to the podcast first. So welcome, Daryl. How are you?
Hello. Thanks for having me. What an intro.
I mean, it just... Working with Kim Woodburn and Bruce Grobbelaar in the same sentence, it just doesn't get better than that, does it, really? You can't...
You simply can't top it. I've reached my career peak already.
Well, I guess the only question is, snog, marry, kill, Ricky, Kim Woodburn and Bruce Grobbelaar?
I am not at liberty to discuss.
Seeing, right, so Darryl, obviously you know what we're going to talk about. So we're going to be talking about the film of your life. We're going to go through that. But firstly... we're going to start with a little segment from Denver, and that is three questions to get to know you. So I'm going to pass you to Denver.
Oh, thanks, Ricky. Yes, each week we're going to ask each of our guests three get to know you questions, just so we can get to know you a little bit better.
It's not like we don't know you.
First of all, it's so the listeners can get to know you better. Daryl, first of all, what did you have for breakfast?
Oh, for breakfast, you know what? I'm only after my breakfast. I had it about 5 minutes ago. I had a cup of tea and I had some granola.
Granola. Yeah. Can I just say, it's 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and he's just had some
granola.
Listen,
boys, listen. For anyone listening to this after the fact, we're in a lockdown.
I ask a lot of ridiculous ones. I don't know if this isn't this bad. This is quite an interesting one. So would you rather go into the past and meet all your ancestors, or would you rather go to the future and meet all your grandkids, like your great-grandkids?
Good question.
I'd like to... the future. I'm more interested in technology and stuff like that. Plus, I have a feeling they'd know who I am. So if I go into the past and say, hey, I'm going to do all this stuff that you've never heard of, at least I can go into the future and say, hey, I've done all this stuff that is probably trivial to you now.
But would you like...
very fair point.
Is it like a... I imagine it's like Back to the Future, so I'd go back and like... know all like the football results and like start betting on it and like get loads of money.
You're looking at it as a business opportunity.
Yeah,
it's a business opportunity. What would I do? I agree with Daryl. I don't care about things that I didn't know, but I care about things that I might know in the future. So he put it a lot more better than I did. But yeah, I agree.
That's really funny.
And if you're looking for business opportunities, bring some future technology back with you.
Yeah, but do you know what's really funny?
It's
really funny that both of you answered incorrectly on a would you rather. Like, that's just like, it's just, it, you go back in time 100%. You're definitely both wrong. Anyway, let's go on to
let's go on. Finally, Daryl, what is your favourite supermarket?
Oh,
I think there's a story here as well.
If anyone doesn't know, Denver and I have some tumultuous relationships with a supermarket brand.
We do.
Which will remain unnamed. We don't want to cause any enemies straight away.
But one might pat one's bottom.
It's giving it away.
No. We'll edit that out.
It has to be Aldi. It has to be. Like,
Oh,
because during the first lockdown, I taught myself to cook.
Doesn't understand what he's saying.
Ah, yes, we'll put subtitles on the bottom of this audio podcast.
Yeah, of a podcast.
Yeah, you never know. You never know what happens. So, Daryl, we're going to move straight right into it. And obviously, this podcast is all about creating a film of your life. So, the first question to ask, of course, who is going to play Daryl Holden in the Daryl Holden movie?
Who's the actor? So, does this film take place after my death?
That's what we're going
to
get.
This is what we need to know. So, right, let's break it down a bit. So, Daryl, first of all, tell us where you're from and what's your profession. What do you do within the arts? So basically we want to find out, is it a movie about your life or is it going to be a movie about a prominent moment in your life? It's however you want it to be. Yeah.
Fair. Okay, well, hello, everyone. My name is Daryl Holden. I'm from a little town in Northern Ireland, just on the border. And within the arts, I am predominantly an actor. I have experience in set design and I have experience in writing. But mostly I just act. Mostly I just get out there and
we do the easy one.
On stage. It's all right. It's all right.
I'm all right.
It's decent. It's decent. We've already said all this. We've already said that he's worked with Kim Woodburn and stuff like that. We know he's a top tier actor. So.
So go on then. Have you thought about your movie then? Because obviously,
well, yeah. Because I was thinking about it, and my thing is, I don't know what you think about this, but I don't like big actors playing. Well, not that I'm one, but I don't like big actors playing big celebrities in like films. So it was nice to see Rami Malek as like, you know, as the lead of Queen, and it was nice to see your fella playing. Elton John and all
that. Taron Egerton.
How small an actor he was.
Taron Egerton.
Yeah, But I don't... I think if I wanted to do a film about me and have it, like, be true to who I am, I think I'd like to give someone new a shot. Like, it's nice to see, you know, your Rocks and your Tom Hollands and your Ryan Reynolds, but they play the same character all the time and everyone just goes, oh, that's the Rock in that film, or that's Tom Holland. So I think given like, a new actor would be...
Does any name come to mind?
They'd have to shave their head, wouldn't they? So it was a nice shaved head.
Well, we were thinking Ralph Hines, you know, the guy who plays Voldemort, but I didn't want to say that, like, to if you didn't know, Daryl is bald, to put that out there. Anyway,
I was thinking Jason Statham could pull off my accent.
Oh yeah, that small actor Jason Statham.
You
know, like someone new. Thank
you. Yeah.
Well, actually, Denver, wouldn't you be good at this role? Because you have.
Well, this is what I was going to say. We've actually worked together before, Daryl.
We've all worked
and
together.
I wasn't even at the forefront of your mind. And as a fellow actor, I don't know. It just hurt a bit. It hurt a bit. But
that's because, Denver, I view you more as a successful podcast host.
Don't say that. No, one's, no, we all wait for no fact. No one is listening to this right now.
It brings it back.
So, but I'm saying, Daryl, like, obviously, you know, all three of us have worked together on Holiday in Heaven, and I think this is going to be it. Probably the biggest moment in your life. I think this is the moment you're going to talk about in the film. So, like, just on that, we've
No. What the real question is here, Daryl, just for us all, because Ricky has it different in his head. In three words, explain what it's like working as with Ricky as your director, please.
Let me get close to the mic here. A painful experience.
Right, so clearly I'm not going to be directing this film.
And that's the end of the podcast.
That's it. So that's the end. So Daryl, we've got so far...
Diva you were, Ricardo.
Right, anyway, moving on quickly, because the show is now needs to be more about me and not Daryl. So obviously you didn't give us an actor who would play you. You said you want a new star to come up. What is the first scene? What is the opening scene?
Set the beginning.
So, starts the blackout. And then all you hear is triumphant orchestral music coming through the back. No, I think it'd start just with... It wouldn't start when you're being born, because that's boring. But I think...
I imagine it starting, like, you know how The Hobbit starts? in like the countryside. And it's just like
just a sweeping landscape shot. Yeah.
And it's like doo doo doo. And it's just you just like eating some potatoes. I don't know, like maybe that's a bit far.
I think it'd start in like primary school, because if I'm going down the road I'm going down now, and this is a film about, you know, my acting career or whatever, I think it'd start in primary school when like I got a good taste for it. So doing like school assemblies, because every Friday in primary school, I don't know what it was like we used, but every Friday in primary school, like each year would have an assembly. You know, so it'd go up in year, and it'd be linked to the Bible somewhere or whatever, obviously. But I think that I was always the lead in those, and I really enjoyed them. And it was nice seeing, you know, me parents come in and be proud of me and supporting me. So I think it'd start there, and then that could be, then you could skip forward a couple of years.
Okay, so you're going down the kind of story of Daryl, the actor, his story sort of thing, and how he started to become an actor. Okay, interesting. Yeah. So your primary school where you first started realizing you wanted to be an actor, what was that moment? So what was the moment where you went, I need to be an actor?
This is the thing, because I did it in primary school and I enjoyed it. And then I chose my secondary school because it was the only school in the area that did a pantomime every Christmas. And it's quite well known for it. Like some of the school's funding comes through this panto. But up until like my second or third year of secondary school, I didn't actually think of doing acting. So I got to secondary school. And I got to secondary school and I wanted to be a sweet shop owner.
Obviously,
Daryl's sweeties.
Yeah, so I was going mad in business studies, and I was trying to study marketing and all the rest of it. And then I swapped that, and I wanted to be a quick stint where I wanted to be a soldier, and then it didn't. And then I had a stint where I wanted to be a policeman, and a stint where I wanted to be a something in computers, like, you know, taking apart computers and just doing that.
So instead you chose to do a profession where you could be all of these things.
And look at me now.
You can just pretend any of them. And
I got to secondary school and all of these were running through my head. And I started watching Doctor Who. I've been watching it since like, you know, primary school, but I really got into it like after the first season of David Tennant.
I was going to say, so you were David Tennant kind of doctor guy.
And I really got into it after him. And I was watching it one day and I went, that's fucking sick. Sorry, I don't know if you can swear on this.
Why not? You can.
I was like, that's...
Daryl, this is a family show. So can you make sure you don't swear, please? Like,
we can censor it out.
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Yeah, we'll censor. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, that's sick. You know, I really enjoy watching him do that. And then I started looking into it and I was like, this is a viable career. And so I started chatting with my careers teacher about it, and they kept trying to put it off. And they kept telling my parents to tell me to do something else. But by this point, my mind was set and made up. I realized that I loved doing it in primary school, that I picked this secondary school because I did the panto. I got the main cast in the panto all the time. So I was like, yeah.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yes, you
took my joke. I think, Daryl, what's a big point in this is, like, you spoke about pantos so much. Like, is panto something you really enjoy doing, or is it just something that keeps finding you?
There's, well, because when I was growing up, I didn't see big theatre. Like, I didn't see it at all. My first proper theatre show I saw, like, a month before I came to the university audition. Wow. So before that, it was only pantomime, because that's what, you know, if you're from the countryside, that's the only thing that the city's put on that gets in the crowd every Christmas. So the school trip every Christmas would be to go and see the panto. So the first like 5 years of primary school, would go and see the school that I went to for secondary school. And then after that, they'd go up to Belfast to see like the big professional ones. And I loved it. It was just because panto, I think, is the only piece of theatre that gets a laugh at everyone, is there solely for enjoyment. And you can see the actors are enjoying it and the audience are enjoying it. And it's rare to get that balance. Yeah. And then it's the only one as well that everyone can enjoy. Like my mates who don't watch theatre, who think it's, you know, it's all Shakespeare and too outlandish and very uppity, would watch a panto with no problem, because It's just a piece of enjoyable theatre. And I really love it. Like, it's nice to tell a story that can be accepted by all ages, and it's for everyone.
So when you hear people about kind of talking about pantomime and kind of saying it's an actor's nightmare going into pantomime, it's kind of the end of your career and all of that. What do you say to people that kind of have that point of view?
Well, if it's the end of the career, well, that's where I started. So if I started at the end, no, I think, you know, you're entitled to your own view, but I think to put down something else just to put yourself on a higher standpoint isn't what the arts needs, isn't what, you know, what it's all about. And I think if you're making someone laugh and you're having an enjoyable time and someone else is having an enjoyable time and you're getting paid for it, what's the problem? I don't see an issue here.
I also think it's this is going to big you up as well, Darren, as well. I think the pantos you've been in the panto at the Epstein Theatre, and you've been at the Arts Ball Prom, like, you've managed to get a job during COVID to do a panto. Mm-hmm. Like, that is applaudable, like, no matter what. Like, as much as we can sit here and go, like, obviously I'm an actor as well. She didn't know about that about me. Anyway, but, like, I was looking for jobs and you got one. And, like, that, in this moment in time, is so hard to go and do, and you did it. And I don't think anyone should turn your nose down. But moving back to this film, so we've got... So the opening scene is, you know, you come into panto, going to school and moving onwards with your life in Ireland, which I think is so different to what both me and Denver have lived, because we're both city boys and we've come from more, like, urban areas. And I think the next big question I think I have to ask you is, what is the plot twist? Like, so obviously we've had this...
The main bit of the show.
What is it, like, what is the bit where you go, that is the moment where it all changes for you? Like, what is the plot twist for you in this moment, in this film?
I don't know if my life has had a plot twist yet, but I think if it was a film that just ran from start to where I am now.
Yeah. What's the defining moment?
Yeah. I think a defining moment is knowing that I wanted to do this, and knowing that I wanted to get into the arts and be an actor and, you know, become famous and rich and all the rest of it. But when I got to the university audition and realized that it's not just enough to want to do this, you have to know about it too. And I got to that university audition, and I think that's like, you know, gearing myself up, smashing out the monologue and getting myself ready for, you know, the improv games and all, and then getting into that interview and realizing just how ill-equipped I was to, like, to start in a proper university education in the arts. I think that'd be the twist so far, that your want is there, but the means to do it.
I love that. But I think I want to talk about something, because I was really hoping you bring it up. I think a really prominent thing that we should talk about is What Lies Below. I think What Lies Below is something that both you and Isaac were so proud of. And I think it was a brilliant show. And like, if you want to explain about that and give us a little bit of rundown of what that... Because for me, when I saw that production, I really saw, like, a change in you creatively, and really saw something that... We could clearly see something from you, that this is where you want to go with it. And I think this is something that I want to hear about.
Bearing in mind, by the way, you wrote and directed this whilst also playing a role in the musical as well.
Well, so What Lies Below was a third year project. So in the LJMU drama course, when we did it, the third years, by the end of their 3 years there, could pitch their own show, direct their own show, write their own show, and put it together with other third years. So we'd get a taste of how to put together a big project in the real world. And so myself and my very good friend, Isaac Nixon, who I've been working with now for about 5 years, pitched this surrealist physical show, you know, with a bit of family drama thrown in. And I will say Isaac directed most of it. If you're looking to interview the director, you should interview him. But when we came up with it, we were chatting about it at a house party, and Isaac had taken me to see Gecko Theatre do the Institute, and I fell in love with it, and I loved, like, the physicality of it and everything. So I started wanting to write, like, a physical show for the third year. And then Isaac was working on a surrealist show. And those properties kind of lend themselves to each other. You can get away with if you can get away with surrealist writing, you can get away with surrealist movement. So we decided to put our heads together and work on that. And it was so much fun. Writing that show was so much fun. And we pitched it. And we were... I don't know if you two know, but when we pitched that show, we only had the scene that we pitched.
Well, Darryl, we knew, wow.
So Darryl, in the space of, how long was it? 8, 12 weeks? You managed to then write the play and perform the play. And obviously, for those who didn't see it, it was an extremely physical play as well. So you also have that side absolutely. To do it.
I also think that... Obviously, Darryl, if we can, I'd love to post some pictures when we post this clip. But like, some of the most interesting parts about that show was the design of the set and design of the patterns on that. And this is something we haven't even spoke about with you. And this is such, I think, a big prominent part of your, you know, part of your artistic. I don't know what the word is. I'm going to say
repertoire.
Good word, Denver. Is that your word of the day?
It is. Let's call it my word of the day. Repertoire.
But like, set building and. Like, where did the love for that come as well? Like, this is such a big thing, and the whole art. You should explain it better than I can because I'm good at not good justice.
Well, I think so. For people who don't know, the LGME drama course as well offers like it had a workshop, so it's a very well rounded course. So you could try anything, and we got into first year, and we were working on a show called Days of the Commune, and in the big centerpiece of this show is a cannon.
I forgot about this.
We were doing the show on location, and most of it centered around like this barricade and the French Revolution, and the cannon that they co-opted to guard the street, and the whole barricade was made out of like rubbish and stuff that we found lying about, but the cannon itself was like. Important, and I said to the director, I was like, I could have a go at building this if you want. And he goes, no, we're just going to build it out of rubbish. And I goes, no, I think, like, if we built this, it'd be far more important. And so I had a go at that. And my dad's an engineer, and my mates, you know, are all farmers, and they all fix up cars and mess around and stuff like that. And it sounds like such a like a comic book origin, but it like
what like. Set builder man, or like, I can't wait to see him in the Marvel universe. Oh, he sounds great.
That's where the love of it came from. You know, I loved working with my dad with stuff and putting stuff together and taking it apart and figuring out how stuff works.
Would there be a scene in the movie of that of the early years?
See, what I'm imagining a scene of like a montage of you building things, like it's
like an 18
kind of the best. Around.
Like you're building a cannon.
Gonna have a team now.
Like let's the things you built. You built a cannon. You built a bar. You built like what? You built a pirate ships. You built everything. Like you've done so. This is a good question. What is one of the best pieces? Like what's the best set you think you've built?
I don't because I build things like I don't think I could ever be a professional set designer because I don't. Think I could work on big scale, you know, like you get in your Empire Theatres or whatever. I like building like one-off things for shows or things that seem, I like pushing the boundaries of what, like not unprofessional, amateur theatre can do. Like I love pushing boundaries with a budget and seeing what you can do in like small spaces and transforming small spaces. So I think the best one that we did would have been What Lies Below. I loved, even though the set was really, really like, basic for that. I think what set we did use and chalking the whole room and laying down a new floor just completely transformed that space. And I don't think I've seen a space that everyone knew so well transformed as much since then.
Yeah. Right. So we've built a lot of your movie. The start and your primary school days and all of that, and growing up, your dad teaching you kind of how to do the set, your plot twist, even things like What Lies Below. We spoke about your pantomime. So I guess that the last bit to the end of your movie about Darryl, the actor, is how's it end? So you can answer this a different way. You can answer how you want your career to go and how you see it ending, or kind of if you want to end it currently. But yeah, either way.
Yeah, is it just ending now? Is this like the final thing? You end on the podcast.
Is it something a bit ambiguous, or how do you see it going? Or how do you want it going?
If it follows the journey of my life, I'd love it to end where I'm just the goal of my life isn't anything special. It isn't to you know, end up on Hollywood posters or whatever. It's just to be able to make a living doing what I like to do, you know, make a comfortable living and be able to support a family and whatever, like just doing the arts. I do have it in my head. It pops in every so often about like teaching. I wouldn't mind going into teaching maybe somewhere down the road, but I think
it's not a very exciting movie though, that is it?
I know that
like you've gone from like, you know, rural Island, we've gone to Liverpool,
but maybe that's the film. Maybe the film's like a slow roll into like this, the, you know, the harshness of reality that sometimes you do have to accept the jobs and they don't always have a big explosive ending. Or maybe I just go out in a blaze of glory. Yeah.
We could swear as much as we fucking like, mate, don't you worry.
Excuse me.
Or maybe the film's just about, maybe it just gets to the point where I get my first professional credit and the lights come up and it does like that freeze frame, you know, where I'm smiling and then the credits come up.
it's like your name's in lights and it's just you coming onto stage. And I like that. So we've got this, so we've got, we start in Royal Island, we see you doing Panto, coming to Panto, then we see you move to Liverpool, we see you learn about this, and then we finish with you, let's say, in that moment where you've hit the big. But I think there's something that's got to accompany this the entire way through, like, what's the soundtrack? I'm going to change it from soundtrack, who's going to write it, but what song do you think you'd put alongside it? Is there a song you'd end with, or is there a song you'd start with, what's your Bond song?
Is your best way of putting it. You've got Remy Malek as well as your lead, so.
Oh, yeah, really?
My favourite song of all time is Mr. Blue Sky, but I don't know if that fits this. I think it'd be nice for an upbeat montage.
I think it fits for that exact reason. Mm. Yeah. You've just said it's one of your favourite songs. Yeah. There you go.
And then, like, some Irish country in for good measure.
Bit of
Derek Ryan, bit of Nathan Carter. Unreal. That's it. Soundtrack sorted.
Yeah, I love that. And then finally, Daryl, the final question is, what is the title of this film?
The all-important question.
What is... Yeah.
See, I was thinking about this, and I don't... Like, because there's nothing overly amazing about my life so far, you can't call it like, you know, Rocket Man, like I'm not known as the Rocket Man, you can't call it like Lazarus, you know, for David Bowie. So I was just thinking about it, you can't just call it Daryl either, because
I would watch a film called Daryl, don't you worry.
But I think I don't know I think
that's not a very good title. What have you got, any ideas? Like, we've listened to the story, Denver. Have you got anything you can think?
Whenever I think of titles of anything, my head always goes towards puns, and the only thing I can figure is Daryl's surname is Holden, and it could just be called Holden.
Or it could be like holding on to the good times.
Oh, holding on to the good times. Yeah, something like that. Holding on, like I'm holding back in secondary school. Yeah, no.
I think maybe
you call it like the slow burn or something
the
like that.
Slow burn. I like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's like,
let's hope people don't think it's about like a pissing disease or something. Do you know what I mean?
Because we've all had slow burns when we go to the toilet.
I'd like to think in this day and age, they watch the trailer before they just go to the cinema and go, you know what, I want to watch that film about what I think is a pissing disease.
Are you directing it yourself? Are you building it yourself? And is there a role for yourself in this movie?
I think, you know, maybe I have a cameo where I give myself some life advice. But Maybe we get. I can't direct. Like, I'm not that good. Maybe we get Isaac in to direct again.
He's gonna love that.
Maybe we get Isaac in to direct, and I take all the credit for it again.
I'm not being funny, Darren. I'm sitting right here, and I have worked with you, and I think you should, you know, give me the job. But however, more importantly,
yeah,
do me and Denver get a part in this? The slow burn.
Yeah, are exactly. We just. Well, we, you're, do we at least get some sort of credits?
Who's playing us? You know.
Yeah, boys, use the podcast host. Like, this is gonna be in the film. If you don't play yourself,
this is the opening to the film. This is meta.
The idea
I'll find some actors who look nothing like you for like the university section of the film, and then you can...
we just scroll. Well, I think that is the end of the podcast. So
Darrell, it's been a pleasure, and we're gonna have to get you back on to talk a bit more about this shambles of a musical we were both watching.
I think maybe we could have a special
get the whole cast together.
But
that just turned into a roast of Ricardo Alexander.
Right, moving on. Let's end this quickly. Darrell, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. And
boys, thanks very much for having me.
No, you're Darrell, welcome back anytime.
Our very first guest. It's been a pleasure. Thank you
very much. Right.